Hey everybody, welcome. This is Corinne Zupko, and I'm so happy we're here together to share in this time. Let's begin our call as usual with coming to silence. So if we're moving around, if we're able to pause, allowing the eyes to close if you'd like. And touching that space within of willingness, that willingness that each one of us has. We wouldn't be here if we weren't willing. And so connecting with that feeling of willingness and knowing that we're strengthening this willingness for each other. Every miracle, every shift that each of us may experience is for all. We all benefit because we're all one and we're all waking up to our truth together. And feeling a sense of gratitude for the space we hold for one another, for the support we give each other, and for everyone who's sharing this path with us. And gratitude for truth, for everything. For life with a capital L, which is love with a capital L. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Whatever we need, if we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place the Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this moment. Oh, welcome again, everyone. So it is the Sunday before Christmas. And I felt moved to kick off our call with a Christmas reading. And there's a few references to Christmas in A Course in Miracles. And I had this sense when I was thinking about this that we read this recently. And sure enough, we did. The references to Christmas, the bulk of the references we read in November 8th, to be exact. And probably the following week after that as well. So rather than reread that was called Christmas is the End of Sacrifice. Rather than reread that, we're just going to go to a different section, an earlier section in A Course in Miracles, and we'll kick off our call tonight with just reading that paragraph about Christmas. So if you have the Sparkle Edition, you can turn to page 75. It's the subheading that says Love Without Conflict. If you have the original edition, it is Chapter 4, Part 4. It's also called Love Without Conflict. And then in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's Chapter 4, Part 3, and it's called Love Without Conflict. Now, you will notice if you're following along in the FIP edition that some of the wording is a little bit different, so the editing changed, and the paragraph breaks are a little bit different. So in the Sparkle edition, it looks like we're going to be reading about two paragraphs. In the FIP, it's just a little bit over one. So celebrating Christmas, let's begin. Love without conflict. You have never understood what the kingdom of heaven is within you means. The reason you have not understood it is because it is not understandable to the ego, which interprets it as if something outside is inside, and this does not mean anything. The word within is unnecessary. The kingdom of heaven is you. What else but you did the Creator create? And what else but you is his kingdom? This is the whole message of the atonement, a message which, in its totality, transcends the sum of its parts. Christmas is not a time. It is a state of mind. The Christ mind wills from the soul, not from the ego, and the Christ mind is yours. So I'm just going to pause there. And in the FIP edition, again, it is a little bit different from what I'm reading here in Sparkle edition. So I just love, I have the sentence underlined a couple times, Christmas is not a time, it's a state of mind. The idea that the kingdom of heaven is you, it's not within as if we're thinking of it, you know, something that's outside is within, as this paragraph initially states, but that the kingdom of heaven is you. I wanted to share a story real quick. It's actually not really a story, but if anybody's familiar with Corrine Walson, she partners up with Nook Sanchez and does a lot of teaching, and she comes from a Christian Science background, which is very similar to A Course in Miracles. And I was listening to her speak recently, and her conviction that we are the extension of God right now, that right now we are a manifestation of God itself, that that's what we are made of. And in her words, she's not talking about the form. You know, she's not talking about the physical, dense form that we're, you know, dreaming in this holograph right now, but instead this, I like to think about it as, you know, that which is activating the form, the life force itself, that is you right now. God is you right now. And if we can just own that, embody that for even just a moment, you know, God doesn't know sickness or suffering or lack of any kind. And if we are the living, breathing manifestation of God right now, anything that we perceive that seems to suffer or die or grow old, whatever, can't be real. It can't be real. So that really stood out to me in this paragraph. The kingdom of heaven is you. Oh. So let's keep reading. You too have a kingdom which your soul created. It has not ceased to create because your ego has set you on the road of perception. Your soul's creations are no more fatherless than you are. Your ego and your soul will never be co-creators, but your soul and your creator will always be. Be confident that your creations are as safe as you are. The kingdom is perfectly united and perfectly protected, and the ego will not prevail against it. Amen. And I'm just going to read two more sentences. That was written in that form because it is a good thing to use as a kind of prayer in moments of temptation. It is a declaration of independence. You will find it very helpful if you understand it fully. And again, that was, the kingdom is perfectly united and perfectly protected, and the ego will not prevail against it. Amen. So again, there's just the idea that it's, you know, there's that wholeness, that eternity, that living, breathing love with a capital L right now, and the ego has absolutely no power over it. So I want to just pause there. Does anything stand out to anyone in this short reading with this reference to Christmas? I can share another sentence. In the first paragraph we read, after it says, Christmas is not a time, it is a state of mind, it goes on to say, it says, the Christ mind wills from the soul, not the ego, and the Christ mind is yours. So again, the idea of the Christ, of the sonship, that this mind, this capital M mind, wills, loves from the soul with a capital S and not from the small self ego, and that Christ mind is ours always. And so, again, Christmas not being a time, but simply a state of mind of oneness, a state of mind that is that Christ mind. I've been talking a lot. I'm going to pause. Anybody have anything coming up?
You pretty much have to be in alignment to really, for this to be believable.
Uh-huh.
You know, the willingness.
Yeah, and that's
that
all
we always talk about.
It's just that tiny bit of willingness that even if we don't feel in alignment, it's, you know, that can shift in an instant just from willingness.
Right.
Just
right.
From that, you know, when we go to that page 90, I must have decided wrongly. It's like, boom, reset button.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, the other thing, too, is I don't know if it's just the time of year or just people in general, but everyone is so busy. I you know,
mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's all these requirements of the season that, you know, now don't laugh, this may seem silly, but like that I have to go see Star Wars, you know? I don't
uh-huh.
particularly
well,
I don't
that's
really
true.
Care. You know what I mean? Like there's this
uh-huh,
mindset
uh-huh.
of requirements and everyone's
right.
busy, you know, and gosh, everybody's so busy. I'm glad you guys are not so busy that you can't get on this call. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah. You're hitting on something really big, Brian, and that, I mean, think about the mindset of requirements, you know, that can be held surrounding, right now you're touching on the holidays, so that, like, you have to be with family, you have to do certain things, you have to buy presents. That can be applied, you know, the ego part of our minds, the small part of our minds can latch on to those, you know, requirements. I have parts of my family that feel very strongly that the holidays have to be a certain way. And if you deviate from that, you're not doing them right.
That,
you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, the you know, me and my immediate family just don't share that belief. And so the ego's list of requirements, even taking it not just, you know, even taking it beyond the holidays, but just like to the laws of the world. You know, we've read about the laws of nutrition and, you know, all the things that we're supposed to do to stay healthy, to protect the body. That is a mindset of requirements also, that there are certain things that we have to do as bodies to take care of the body. That's also a mindset, but it's the lowercase m mindset. When we're plugged into the capital M mindset, nothing. There's nothing I need to do, think, make, or wish to establish my worth. My worth is already established by God. And when I'm tuned in, like Paula said, when I'm in alignment with that mindset with a capital M, that's when that sense of ease comes. That's when it. That's when things become easy.
You know, I'll tell you.
Forcing things. Go on.
I'm very traditional about the way I like to celebrate Christmas, and I love to get family together in
uh-huh.
my little house. Believe me, I have a little house. And
uh-huh.
I had the energy the last 5 days to really pull it off, and everybody came, and it was really quite effortless on my part. But there was a lot to do to put it together, you know, with the food, and I love to decorate the house and all of that. Now, I understand exactly what Brian's saying. You know, we don't have to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think when you're doing it out of love, that's when
mm-hmm.
it feels right and it feels effortless.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the strength and energy to really make it happen.
Yeah.
I totally found that this year.
Yeah, me too.
I started to notice myself getting like, you know, I was glad Brian mentioned it because I started feeling like that busyness and just the franticness. And at some point, the right-mindedness came in and I said, you know what, I can do this a different way. Like, why am I doing it? And just doing
yeah.
that, like I started to feel peace, and I was like I felt guided to the things that I could get for people. I didn't feel like a task anymore. At first, it felt so ominous, and it was amazing. Just like that moment, I just decided to, you know, to see it differently and think of it differently. It really did shift things.
It's really what your intention is going
yeah.
into it. You know, and when love is leading and you're doing it for that reason, it's just a wonderful thing. And in the meantime, I don't know, it's just in this energy that was really good preparing for all of this. And in the meantime, this Enterprise truck pulls up in front of my house and this delivery person gets out. And I'm telling you, Corinne, there's something in the Course in Miracles that talks about you'll have these light episodes, and I've often thought, what the hell is that about? What are they talking about? But honestly, I could see this kid was so enthusiastic, so he was just light was like shooting at him.
Mm.
It was the best experience, and it was just a very brief encounter, and It was just wonderful, but somehow it seems to me that it was a part of the whole thing that I was involved in and doing, you know, and that he just came into it. And it was only for maybe a minute or two that he was here, but I thought, oh, my God. It was just a wonderful encounter of just pure joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I think too,
so,
like
yeah, Polly.
Oh, sorry. Go
on. No,
come
on, DJ.
I was just gonna say, like, I had something come up earlier in the week because I'm staying with my mom currently, and there were a couple moments last week where I was feeling, you know, like Corinne was saying, there's some things in our family that. There's a belief system that things really have to be done a certain way or it's not Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like, I was feeling the heaviness of that as opposed to looking at it with correct perception, which is love, right? And I just had this moment where I realized I was using that to make myself miserable. Like, I was using that belief system that things have to be done a certain way to make myself miserable, and I could stop it. And I made a decision to start seeing things differently because I was the one making myself unhappy. And as soon as I did that, what really came through was this awareness that everything, what Jesus is teaching in A Course in Miracles is that everything is neutral. The food that we eat, the gifts that we prepare, the little rituals we have while we're here, everything is neutral. It just depends on which lens you're looking through with. So if I'm not looking with the lens of love, then I'm going to see misery and suffering and irritation and frustration and guilt. And but with love, with God, there's nothing that God within us, the light within us, would deny us. so we never have to feel guilty about receiving gifts, receiving abundance, whatever it might be. So I just wanted to share that because it came really strong this week.
I want to share something. This is Carol. I'm relating to everything people are saying. And today I had, this week we attended two funerals. And today we had an opportunity to attend an event where a group of people go, musicians and a lot of volunteers go, and put on a Christmas party for a home where, they don't have a lot of people come to visit them and they have a lot of health issues and things. And my husband and I had signed up for this like a month ago. So we told our friends that we would get to the funeral home when we could, kind of thing. So we went, and it was like I was a little kid. I got to see my husband be Santa Claus. It was the coolest. I was like a little kid watching him interact with these people. And, some of them were pulling at his beard. These were adults. These were, people in adult bodies. And I was like, oh, my God, that's my husband. How cool is this? This is the coolest thing. And, I didn't have my phone or anything. You're not allowed to take videos. And it was just one, what you were saying, Deidre, about through your eyes you see things differently. And as you're sharing, I'm like, I was like a little kid watching this happen. And it was just like, oh, wow, this is so cool. Because I could see him emanating love to every, for a lot of people, Santa is magical.
Yeah.
And when you put that suit on, it's like, oh, Santa. It was just the coolest thing to watch.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of that when you were sharing.
That's awesome. I love it. Oh, thank you, Carol. Thank you, DG, too, for sharing. That was perfect. That was,
yes,
that was
yes.
So relevant. So
thank
spot
you.
On. All right. Anybody else have anything before we move on? Anything about the holidays? Anything about Christmas? I know for me, pulling together in this study group call every year before Christmas and talking about this really puts me into the spirit of what this is really all about. So thank you. Thank you all for just being here.
Well, this is my gift to myself.
Yeah. Me too. And Brian, was that just sort of helpful? I don't know that we actually got away from your comment because we were really just talking about the mind, the mindset through which you see ego versus spirit. But was that relevant for that mindset of requirements that you referred to?
Yeah, I would say yes. It's just that somehow the ego responds in funny ways to the so-called requirements, like you're expected to do. I don't know. I guess I had to plead guilty that once in a while, I don't know, always exactly feel like reacting the way everyone else does. So I don't know if that's part of my ego that's doing that. But in the positive sense, like there's so much good about Christmas. You just can't deny it. But I think it's all the externals that I get mixed up or confused, with all the external requirements. So that's all. Yeah, what was discussed, definitely.
I think we all go in and out of that throughout the holiday,
so
in a sense. It's, just the fact that I took off work for 5 days.
Wow.
Helped me to shift. you know, I think when you're out in the world and you're interacting with other people and all, it's really difficult to get in that mindset and, you know, really flow with it and stay with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm going back to work tomorrow, unfortunately.
Yeah, so again, I mean, you know, we it's the same getting sucked into the holidays versus just getting sucked into the world. It's the same thing. You know, it happens.
Yeah.
We fluctuate. We go back and forth all the time, and it's not to feel guilty for doing so. It's not to feel bad about it. It's just simply willing to just, you know, notice it when we notice it and say, again, hey, help. Spirit, I'm willing to see it differently. I'm willing to see it differently. It is really just another, it's like anything in the world. It's another, the holidays are another opportunity to either come from ego and get, you know, wrapped up in everything or extend love. And ultimately, it is supposed to be about extending love. But, you know, again, with all the rules and things to do and all that, we get lost. And so in an instant, all we have to do again is be willing to see differently. So we can give Christmas to the Holy Spirit. We can give the whole holiday season, whatever it is that we have on our plates, whatever it is that we think we still have to do, we can ask for help.
That's good.
Yay. So are we complete? Do we want to resume with our reading from last week?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that feels good. So let's go ahead then and move to, so in the Sparkle Edition, it's page 382. In the original edition, I have the page marked. It is original edition, chapter 16, part 3. Paragraph number 16, and in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 16, part 2, paragraph number 6. All of these paragraphs begin with a sentence, "No evidence will convince you of the truth of what you do not want." So in Sparkle edition, it's almost like the second paragraph, but it's the first full paragraph on that page. So we all there? We good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. So, again, just to recap, we've been reading the section that we've been in has been called the magnitude of holiness, and yes, we'll continue here. Okay. No evidence will convince you of the truth of what you do not want. Yet your relationship with Him, with the Holy Spirit, is real and has been demonstrated. Regardless, not with fear, but with rejoicing. The one you called upon is with you. Bid him welcome and honor his witnesses who bring you the glad tidings he has come. It is true, just as you fear, that to acknowledge him is to deny all that you think you know. But it was never true. What gain is there to you in clinging to it and denying the evidence for truth? For you have come too near to truth to renounce it now, and you will yield to its compelling attraction. You can delay this now, but only a little while. The host of God has called to you, and you have heard. Never again will you be wholly willing not to listen. That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
That's so reassuring, isn't it? That, you know, we have opened our ears, our eyes, that spiritual eye, and never again will we be wholly willing to block that out. And so our success is guaranteed. I also like how it says in the middle of that paragraph, it is true, just as you fear, that to acknowledge him is to deny all that you think you know, but it was never true. There again, it's just reassuring to me that, you know, we have perhaps fears of losing something, but when we fully allow those blocks in our own minds to be let go of and we see truth for what it is, what we thought we wanted was never true. And so I find that reassuring. I've been working with a statement a lot lately. If I'm not peaceful, if I'm, you know, having some sort of little fear come up or big fear or whatever it may be, I must be misperceiving. I've been trusting more that if I'm experiencing anything other than pure, complete peace, I must be misperceiving. I don't know how, but I'm willing to own that, and again, to ask for another way. That's been helpful for me lately. So not trusting the body's eyes really is what that comes down to for me.
Yeah, for me, like, lately, everybody on the call knows that I've affectionately called the idea of the ego Taz, but I've recently I've recently been feeling even let go of that, because even the idea is making the identity of the ego kind of real, and it's just not the truth of who we are, and I'm, you know, just gently releasing that, and I'm just seeing myself as light as much as possible, and everyone around me as light. So, I don't know. I just wanted to share that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared, because you're right. You know, really calling it anything is making it into a thing.
Yeah. It's nothing.
When all it is just, yeah, it's not. It's literally nothing. It's literally just a belief in just nothing.
Yeah, it's like the only thing is the investment in the idea as being real. That's all. That's it. Mm-hmm. But if you're really, really willing to look at that idea, you start to, you know, unravel everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you were talking earlier, Corinne, about Nuke Sanchez and someone in her, I think it's called Miracles Boot Camp or something. She's doing a course called
mm-hmm,
Miracles
mm-hmm.
Boot Camp. And somebody posted something about, you know, feeling some false identity coming up around, you know, having a stocked cupboard and buying gifts for the holidays, and Nuke, you know, basically came through with a beautiful response, and she was talking about, well, who is the I that's looking at that idea? You know, like that's really key. Like, what's the I that's looking at that idea with guilt? It's not spirit then. If there's any kind of guilt there, not spirit. Spirit would never, ever, ever deny us a thing. So, you know, anything that brings us joy is spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that...
I think...
Yeah.
That
go ahead.
Goes back to the two voices and two choices in your head. You know, and being aware of that negative thinking, that background noise, that negative thinking in the head, and realizing, wait, that's not my voice. That's not the voice for God.
Right.
You know, and when I
when
I'm aware of that, I can shift out real fast with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, get this off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this. I don't have to think this thought.
Yep, I love that. I just want to pause for a moment, because I do want to respond to that. But just in terms of clarity of our line tonight, how I'm hearing folks sounding a little bit broken up, and I'm not sure if it's my line or if it's our conference line. Is anybody else experiencing a little bit of difficulty in hearing one another?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, here and
just
there.
Just a little?
Here and there, Corinne.
Just sporadically. Okay. Not all the time, just sporadically.
Okay, yeah. I don't know what's going on, so I'm going to... I meant to investigate last week and I didn't, so I will this week. But as long as we're getting by. Okay. So I just wanted to respond in just saying that, Deidre, that question, who is the I, is so helpful whenever anything is coming up, like, you know, I'm frustrated with this, or I have, you know, all these obligations I have to do, like, that question immediately takes you back to a broader perspective. It immediately, I feel like, helps you step up above the battleground. So who is the I that, you know, wants this or doesn't want that, or who is the I that is struggling? That I is the small identity, the ego identity. So, because like you said, God, Spirit doesn't know suffering of any kind. So that's a beautiful question. I feel like it goes right above the battleground.
Mm-hmm.
Lifts you right up. Awesome. Let's read the next paragraph. I like how it says this is a year of joy because we are approaching New Year's. So this is a year of joy in which your listening will increase and peace will grow with its increase. The power of holiness and the weakness of attack have both been brought into awareness. And this has been accomplished in minds firmly convinced that holiness is weakness and attack is power.
Mm-hmm.
Should not this be a sufficient miracle to teach you that your teacher is not of you. But remember also that whenever you have listened to his interpretation, the results have brought you joy. Would you prefer the results of your interpretation, considering honestly what they have been? God wills you better. Could you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love? What a great paragraph. So, I don't even know where to begin. I'm just staring at the first sentence. Again, this is a year of joy in which your listening will increase and peace will grow with its increase. So we continue to be better and better listeners. I think I'm just going to kind of just say a few things as I sort of skim over this paragraph again. The power of holiness and the weakness of attack, we're aware now of both of them, and this, you know, has already happened. This has happened in a mind that used to be totally confused. We're starting to see the light. I love how it goes on to say, remember also that whenever you have listened to his interpretation, this is an interpretation thing. When we listen to the Holy Spirit's interpretation, the results bring us joy. When we interpret ourselves of our own small self, that does not bring us joy. So if we see anything that we're perceiving as, again, suffering, lack, sickness, you know, the horrors, anything pretty much that you see on the news, if we're seeing that with our own interpretation, it's going to bring up fear. If instead we have that willingness to give it to the Holy Spirit and ask for the Holy Spirit's interpretation, that's where those miracles, that peace comes from. So I love that, how it uses the word interpretation. It's a nice reminder that what I'm seeing, what I think I see, is an interpretation and not a fact.
Hey, family.
What else has come up for you in this paragraph? Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, I'm just getting in latecomer, so where are we reading from?
Does anybody have the FIP edition open and the correct paragraph?
Well, I'm online edition, so the original, so I can get where you're at.
Oh, the original.
So if you tell me the chapter and the section, I can get to that.
It's chapter 16, section 3. I'm not quite sure what paragraph. It's probably paragraph.
If it's FIP, it would be we're going into paragraph 8.
Original edition.
Oh, original. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind.
I think it's, yeah, it's the original edition.
Mm-hmm. So it's the magnitude of holiness.
We just read, yeah, it's The Magnitude of Holiness, and we just read paragraph 17. I just found it.
Okay. Cool. I'm good.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So does anybody have anything come up for you in this paragraph?
Well,
I'll share.
We're actually going to finish this. Oh, go on.
It's LaTanya.
Hi, LaTanya.
I just really appreciated where it said that the power, it described holiness as power and attack as weakness, and how both have been brought into our awareness. So this helps us to recognize that this is totally different from the way the world would see or how the world defines attack. The world defines attack as being in power when it really isn't. It's actually being weak. And so I really appreciated how Jesus is saying that, you know, when we are in holiness, that we are in power. And when we are, if we allow the ego mind to take its hold and go into that mode of attack, then that's weakness. And so now we are aware of that. And now that we are aware of that, we can make a choice and we can be in joy and increase that holiness.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm right there with you. I love that. I love that sense, and it really does bring up just how reversed the world is, how confused it is.
Thank you.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Appreciate.
Thank you so much.
It just reminds me how confused I am.
Yeah. Yeah, let's bring it home, right? It's not the world, it's me.
You know, just the first few lines, like, this is a year of joy in which your listening will increase. And peace will grow with its increase. The power of holiness and the weakness of attack have both been brought into awareness. And this has been accomplished in minds firmly convinced that holiness is weakness and attack is power. Should not this be a sufficient miracle to teach you that your teacher is not of you? But remember also that whenever you've listened to his interpretation, the results have brought you joy. Do you prefer the results of your interpretation, considering honestly what they have been? God wills you better. Thank you, Father. Could you not look with greater charity on whom God loves with perfect love? I needed to hear and read that today, because I shared something a week or so ago, and it's still bothering me. You know, I still am experiencing the upset and the pain and the loss too as well. Of course, I know that I'm still teaching myself, you know, that the little I is still teaching myself, and I'm glad that God willed me better. And just recognizing how there have been other issues that have been in my life that have been worked out, and I've been able to experience a healing where I can see that situation correctly and the other party in a better light. I'm still a work in progress, and right now I kind of just feel just kind of raw, kind of vulnerable. And I have my own fears. And what I got in touch with is that I still am not 100% okay with, you know, just being myself, because the whole issue surrounds someone just pretty much saying that who I am is, excuse me, not enough. Not good enough for them. And that affected me. That is an issue that definitely needs some truth sprinkled upon it, and that it shall lay across the landmine, you know, in my head to soothe all of that chaos that's going on up there. But, you know, there's a part of me that also feels like, well, that's crap because I am good enough and, you know, I like myself and all these other wonderful things. But the bottom line is if that were true, then if somebody else saying it would not have triggered the response that it did. So that just tells me I just still need to continue to work with Holy Spirit in seeing myself correctly and, you know, giving it to him to judge the situation for me, because I'm not seeing it right. And each time I try to, it doesn't work out my favor. So I just need to stop doing it.
Right.
But it's just so damn compulsive.
And that's just what we just read.
Yeah, it's so damn compulsive. So, I'm grateful that God wills me better.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me share that.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Carla. You're hitting it that, you know, our interpretation, your interpretation, it's not the right interpretation. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. We're asking for his interpretation of the situation instead. And I'm not sure if you were on the line or not when we were talking about the question that Deidre brought up that I was saying I feel like is so helpful to lift us above the battleground, and that if something affected you, who is the you? You said, you know, something affected me. So who is the me that's affected? Of course, it's the small self. It's always the small self me that is going to be offended, you know, hurt, bruised, whatever it may be. And just being able to have that itty-bitty perspective that's, you know, the small self that's hurting. And just being willing, you know, again, to ask for a different interpretation, to ask for a different way to see it.
And sometimes that takes a little bit of time to process through it, too. You know, that's...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the prayer for patience. Yeah. Boy, thanks, Carla, for talking about that, because that is hitting home.
Yeah, Carla, I was going to mention something to you last week, and it was so close to the end of the call that I decided not to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel called to share this with you and with anyone else who might be listening to the recorded calls. But on the level of form only, when I first began studying A Course in Miracles, I was in a very dark place at the time. I was suffering from extreme anxiety, and I hadn't fully accepted my intuitive gifts. I was very afraid of, you know, how I knew things, and I was afraid of my own gifts, and I thought, you know, I was kind of a freak. And what essentially brought me to A Course in Miracles was the end of a relationship on the level of form that I had made extremely special. It was a friendship that I had, you know, made basically the center of my world at the time. And after the loss of that relationship, I was in such a, you know, doubt and depression and all kinds of anxiety about myself. And it took me, I would say, a solid 2 years to get to the point where I could really look at that relationship with Spirit and see it as a blessing. Because had that relationship not fallen away in the exact way that it did, you know, at the time I felt extremely hurt. It was very painful. The person on the level of form just suddenly one day after, you know, 3 years of really deep emotional bonding decided not to speak to me ever again. And I just really took that personally, and I really thought, you know, I'm the problem. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy of love. And I was just, like, so depressed. I can't even put into words. And I was so full of anxiety. And it was, you know, studying the Course in Miracles that really helped me understand that exactly that situation was what I needed to take me to the point where I was willing to embrace my gifts. And now today I can literally say to you how thankful I am to, you know, that soul buddy for playing that role for me, because I would not be where I am today had that not occurred exactly the way that it did. So we made that soul agreement for that to transpire. And now I understand.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share that with you, because you don't need to put a timetable on your feelings or what's going on for you. Just let it play out exactly the way that it needs to. And I promise you, you'll be guided to the love that you are, and you will embrace it, and you will look back on whatever experience occurred and go, wow, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for showing me exactly what I don't want and for helping me embrace exactly what I do. So.
That was
thank
wonderful.
You. Thank you, Deidre.
That was wonderful.
Wow. Thank you. And I appreciate that you said that about the not putting a limit, a timetable on my feelings, because in my mind, I think, well, it was such a short period of time that it doesn't deserve this much of my attention, or it doesn't deserve this long, or, you know, but it's just what it is. It feels crappy, and I just want to be done with it. So I'll do what I need to do to honor myself as I move through it. You know, I wish I could be in a different space, but I'm not. So
you know
what it
is. Exactly where you are is okay. I promise you, exactly where you are is okay, because it's serving a purpose, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. Because standing on the other side of the end of that whole thing and how important I thought that it was at the time, I now see that because I've allowed spirit into my life so much as a result of that whole experience, I'm no longer attracting the same energy. Like, I'm not willing to be treated below the love that I know that I am. So I'm no longer attracting the experiences where I am willing to let the appearance of something hurt me the way that I did at that point in my life, because I've allowed spirit into my life and my heart in such a deep way that that's not possible anymore.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that, Deidre.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Deidre, thank you. That was... I'm listening to you speak, and so many things were going through my head, and one of the things was that no matter, you know, in terms of the differences in form, for you, that relationship was that catapult into waking up. For me, it was anxiety. It was, you know, fears of sickness that were so persistent that it was like, you know, it was there to, again, with whatever it is that we've made here, whatever the ego script has chosen, when we give it to spirit, the same thing that could be used to keep us in suffering and in pain, we see that different interpretation that's used now to help us wake up. It's used as a gift, as a means of awakening. And I could really resonate with your story in a totally different form with the, you know, with my history of just the fears and the anxieties and whatnot that I've been through.
Well,
so I was just really struck by that and just, you know, struck how, that I was just struck by that.
I didn't even go into the whole part where I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder and on medication and all of that stuff. So there's all of that portion of it too. So I've got all that all that part of it too, the relationship, you know, what really, you know, led me to studying the course. But I had a whole history of anxiety tendencies as well, and being extremely sensitive and not understanding my own intuition and all of that stuff. So I definitely can resonate with everything that you've ever shared about anxiety, Corinne, because I've been there, done the whole walk.
Wow. Another thing that I'll just share that, and I see that we're at the top of the hour, so then we'll end, is just that, again, in the way that you were describing how that, you know, catapulted you, how that was a ultimately, you know, a means of awakening, it just made me think about a lot of the horrors in the world and how, again, a purpose of them that we could sort of think about is, like, they're there to help us, like, it's as if they're saying, you know, wake the F up. Like, the way that you're seeing this, like, you know, of your own, the you know, your own small will is not working. There's got to be another way. And so I was just thinking about, I'll just leave it at that, just thinking about, you know, some of the horrible things you see on the news and things that have happened that, you know, they're there to help us wake up.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to help us wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that definitely resonates. It resonates for, I think, for all of us. And thank you so much, Deidre. That was just...
Oh,
yeah.
You're welcome.
You got me.
You're welcome.
I agree.
Yeah. Yes,
I totally agree. That was
you.
That was a miracle right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
It was. Thank you. Oh, well... Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry
Have
Christmas.
A wonderful, wonderful holiday. Big hug.
Big
that
Christmas.
Was a gift. That was a gift.
Oh, big hug.
Big hug.
Have a wonderful Christmas.
We'll see you. You too. We'll be together again next week. See you in a week, everyone.
Week.
Love you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Love
you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye, family.
Bye-bye. Bye.